Well, good morning, church. It's really exciting to be together on New Year's morning, and great way to start our year off together as we gather, Living Stones, this temple of God, as we indwelt by His Spirit, as we worship Him and learn from Him together and express His love and encouragement to each other. I pulled a change, and I was going to teach on fasting today, but I decided to do that next Sunday. I hope some of you are, unless you didn't forgot I mentioned that last week, then don't worry about it. I can't even remember what I taught the week before sometimes. But anyway, in your these sheets are available at the back, Daryl, correct?
Yes.
And they're a little bit of a guide to how you can engage in this month of prayer and fasting. Some what to do with fasting, some types of fasts, and then some other stuff that you can learn about if you're doing any kind of extended fast throughout this this season. Today brings us to the close of the original Christmas playlist. To set some context for you, Mary and Joseph, they have traveled 111 kilometers from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Jesus has been born. The shepherds have gone back to watching their sheep. Jesus was given his name and circumcised at 8 days. The Magi, or the wise men, have begun their journey sometime now from the east. John the Baptist is 6 months old. Jesus' human body and nature is just over a month old. And Mary has just completed her days of purification, and now they've gone to the temple. They have presented Jesus to the Lord in the temple, and as we heard last Sunday about Simeon on Sunday morning, Christmas Day, he just completed his song, his prophetic song, celebrating the long-awaited Messiah. And now Anna steps up to the scene. Let's pick it up in Luke chapter 2. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. It's kind of an awkward way to say this, and commentators are not sure what it means. We know for sure that she was at least 84 years old. That means that after the time where she reached puberty or was of marrying age, somewhere in that range, she had a husband. They lived for 7 years together, and then he died. So she's been a widow now for all of this time, and until she's 84, or some of your versions don't make it as clear in your versions that you read, and some say that she could have been up to 100, 101 or something like that. But at least we know that she was advanced in years. She was a prophetess, someone who received messages from God or became clear and foretold it to God's people or to the world to make the message of God clear and understandable and to speak a message from God. Verse 37, and she did not depart from the temple. Now, that didn't mean that she actually... Well, some commentators said that there may have been a special quarters for a certain type of widows that actually stayed on the... But more likely, this is a statement that, like we would say, you're always at church. That means she was consistent and faithful. She never missed. So she didn't depart from the temple worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming to that very hour, and what very hour? This is falls right on the heels of Simeon's prophetic statements about Jesus. When he finally has seen God's salvation, he's in the temple courts and he's been presented and he makes this prophetic song over Christ. And at that very time, Anna walks up. So that's what it means at that very hour. And she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. A fascinating woman. Anna's song I don't know. We're not the only church that does a series on the original songs of Christmas. And I don't know what others have taught about. We just kind of love the idea. But her song, I just kind of called the life song harmony. This is her song. It's life song. Her life is now actually singing back to God, and it's in total harmony. And we're going to see as we look at her life how that we actually can bring harmony in our life song back to Christ as well, using her example, okay? So let's look, first of all, the four-part harmony. Now, I grew up in the church. Now, I didn't actually grow up in the building of the church. This is kind of like what they said, you know, she never left the temple. I felt like that was true of me in my childhood. I grew up in Assiniboia, Saskatchewan, then Morden, Manitoba. My father was a pastor, and there was Sunday morning church, Sunday school, Sunday morning church. There was afternoon get-togethers and potlucks. There was Sunday night church. There was Wednesday night family Bible hour in church. There seems like there was, and then there was missions conference all through the week, many times a year. And I felt like I was always at the church. You ever feel that way? Not like we used to. But I always felt like that. I won't tell you stories of when I actually went swimming in the baptismal tank one afternoon. My father caught me, but we'll leave that alone. But I grew up in church, and you know one of the things I miss? It's harder, you can still do it in some, it seems harder for four-part harmony to fill the room. Some of you that may be over 35, you get that. Four-part harmony just brought such a fullness to this music. So let's talk about our four-part harmony in my life's song to Christ that we find through Anna's example. The first part in the harmony, remember, what are some of you, you remember there's four basic parts. There is soprano, alto, tenor, and bass. Very good. We have an aging church. So the four-part harmony, the first one, let's look at, and that is this. My life song to Christ, my four-part harmony begins with the soprano line, and that is growing in my character. Growing in my character. As I think of Anna's life, I just think about her character. First of all, as a prophetess. You know, in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, those who prophesied, whatever they said had to be absolutely accurate. And if it was inaccurate at all, actually the scripture said that they should be stoned to death. Someone that absolutely had the audacity to say, thus saith the Lord, and it didn't happen, stone them to death. Now, what does that tell you about someone who is a prophet or a prophetess in those days? I would say they got to be pretty tight with God so that what they're hearing and declaring is pretty accurate. I think of the consistency and the faithfulness of this woman. That's a character issue. I think about the moral purity. Do you think ever in those days especially, without the safety nets that we seem to have in our culture, do you ever think that she might have had a temptation to be with another man? Not that remarrying after being a widow is wrong at all, but I bet there was times where she just wanted to. And I bet you she was tempted even to lower her moral standards just to have some companionship and be with someone. But think of the character to choose, to willfully choose to not remarry for that many years. The character, the discipline to fast and pray consistently for all of those years. It's a discipline. Some of you are going to be entering into something that you've never tried before, and that's going to be to fast and pray. Where you take a day, for example, and for every mealtime, instead of going to sit to eat, that you're going to go and you're going to sit and you're going to take some time to pray. If it's at work, you're going to get alone in a lunchroom area or go for a walk, and you're just going to pray instead of sitting there eating. And the little hunger pains remind us, well, I'm starting to teach next week, but you get the idea. The discipline of this woman continually to fast and pray. You know, for all of us, it's the cornerstone. It's the harmony, or it's the melody line of our song of our lives that we become like Jesus Christ, that we grow in our character. And it's amazing to me that she did so all the way until this old age. I've read this in church leadership books. Did you know that many people stop learning and only ride on what they've learned in their faith past 40 some odd years old? The average kind of Joe or Jill. It takes incredible discipline and focus and initiative to continue to grow your character well into your old age. To finish well. And friends, if you're over 60, those of us slightly behind you and those of us farther behind you must see examples of those who finish well. The melody line of your life doesn't stop or go off key. You must recognize it's a primary purpose of salvation is the transformation of your character. You think it's just to get your backside into heaven. It's transformation. In fact, it's God's plan. Romans 8, 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also, what's that word? Predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Do you know it is God's will? He predestined you to be changed, to become like Jesus in your character, your attitudes, your thoughts, and your affections, your values. 1 Thessalonians 4 says that it is God's will for you, your sanctification. That's a Bible word for meaning transformation, be set apart and to become like Christ and be pure and holy and like Jesus. That's God's will. Many people say, what's God's will for my life? And I'll just tell you right there, if you're not willing to lean into that one, why would you want to know other things for your life if you're not going to follow the basic melody line that Christ has called you for what God has predestined you to? I just want to emphasize this, and I can't emphasize it enough. Sometimes we think that the Christian life is about all kinds of other things, but the melody line is to become like Jesus. Get it? Good. I've said it before, true believers respond in faith, baptism, and commitment to Christ's invitation into both a learning, transforming relationship with him, that's what you're saying yes to, and into a significant, purpose-filled life within the kingdom of God. That's what a true believer responds to Christ's invitation into that. Jesus says, take my yoke upon me and learn from me. Our transformation is absolutely the melody line. Well, let's look at the alto part. The second part in our harmony, in our life song back to Christ, is prioritizing in my worship. Friends, many of us need to make worship a priority. And let me not say personally, just in settings like this. I mean personally, privately. To worship God. You know, we've been saved in order to become a kingdom of priests to declare the praises of God. That's part of the purposes for which it, you know, we've been saved as well. And then our collective worship. You know, you worship God throughout the week with your life. You worship him with your lips, with your service, your gifts. Tozer said this. A.W. Tozer was one of our early Alliance pastors. He used to be, the second or third pastor at what is now Bayview Glen Church. And A.W. Tozer, prolific writer, called the prophet of the 20th century. He said that God is made, he makes us worshipers first, workers second. God's plan is to make you a worshiper first, not a worker first. And sometimes we get that mixed up. We think it's all about doing our duty and serving God and doing good stuff. First is worship. Love the Lord your God is the first, then love others as yourselves. You see, worship first, work second. And some of us need to just understand, we need to ask God to increase our hearts from worship. Some of you, maybe not you, I've heard sometimes people go to church, why? Just so they can hear the teaching. In fact, I've heard people actually purposely adjust their schedule so they don't come to the worship part, the singing part, just so they can get the Bible part. That just creates out of harmony life. You're going to have a tough time in heaven. You're going to have a tough time in heaven if you don't like worship. It's not that that's all we do there, but it's a big part. That's why the church sings. We're practicing, getting ready. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You want to know what God's will is? Here's another statement. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is what? The will of God for you in Christ Jesus. It's God's will that you rejoice and give thanks. So friends, some of us, and I'm talking to the choir, here you are on like New Year's Day and you're in church. So tell your friends, they need to listen to this message. But you know, all of us, right? We're so, it's just so easy. Somebody sneezes or something happens or it's just so easy to miss gathering together. Hebrews tells us, don't forsake meeting together. But foundationally to that, we must just increase our consistency in our life and the roles that we live out in life to do so as unto the Lord as worship. When we sing and we pray and we give our offerings, we give God our first and his best, not we wait until there's any left or the leftovers, because most of the time there's not. So we honor God. This is one way we worship and prioritize him. Hebrews 13, though through him let us continually, there's a consistency, just like Anna, consistently or continually offer up sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. There's actually a singing or speaking component to praise that we are to continually do. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. There's the giving part. For such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Friends, we don't just grow in our character, that's the melody line, but we add the harmony of prioritizing in our worship, our times together, our finances, our worship, our life. It just adds. And now you can feel the song there's a growing depth to it. The third part, the tenor line, is sacrificing in my ministry. And isn't it true? It takes time that we all don't have. It takes energy that many of us don't feel like we've got. It removes comfort and convenience, especially serving in the winter when it's cold. Especially when we could just sit and watch our favorite shows. It takes energy, time, costs us comfort and convenience. It is a sacrifice, isn't it? I just need to say right now, there are so many of you in this church. As I just scan the crowd, I just think of the things that you do and how you're living this out. It makes me so thankful and so proud as a church. It's amazing. I wish you could just stand here and just look and just things come into your mind, everything that people are doing that I know of. And that's, I don't even know it all. But what I do know, it just makes me so thankful to God for your ministry and your service and your sacrifice. 1 Peter 4 says that as each of you received a gift, and you have, four major places in the scripture all say that by God's grace you've received at least one spiritual gift. What is the next two words? What's that? Use it. For what purpose? To serve one another. As God's good steward of his varied grace. Whoever speaks as one, the oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by strength. It seems to categorize, there's a lot of speaking spiritual gifts and there's service spiritual gifts. And whichever one or ones you have, use. But in God's strength, through his Spirit, why? What's the big reason we do this? Not just to serve one another, but there's a bigger one. In order that in everything God might be glorified through Christ Jesus. I think I especially want to say thank you to so many who served in this Christmas season. There are seasons of compression in ministry, and then there's release. And through the Christmas season, from preparing Christmas at the farm and all of those activities and the Christmas services and people who gave of their time and their energy to be from family to be here Christmas Eve to serve and Christmas Day and served outside at Christmas at the farm and hung up lights and did all of that. Those that count in hiddenness and serve in hiddenness in the church, setting up, tear down. I just want to say, we just like kids ministries that serve away from this gathering. And I just want to say thank you. And I think we should thank everyone who serves in secretness and hiddenness in the church. And then the baseline, which really adds depth. I love the baseline. Not only do we grow in my character, or not only do I prioritize in my worship or sacrifice in my ministry, but to add the full four-part harmony of my life song to Christ, we risk in my mission. You ever thought, why are you still on the earth? Well, let me ask it this way. What will you do on earth that you can't do in heaven, in the new heaven, the new earth? What's the one thing you won't do in the new heaven, the new earth? Guide people to know Jesus. Our lives are out of harmony with Jesus when we neglect our whole aspect of witness, of sharing Christ, of being salt and light, of giving an answer for our hope. We have the absolute privilege on this side of the grave to be used by God to actually change the eternal life and destiny and the life in this life of actual people. Think about that. Lives are changed for the rest of this life and forever when we are used by God to actually help bring transformation to them as they experience the presence of Jesus. That's an incredible thing to think about, that God has designed us this way. It just makes so alive this passage in Romans 10. And I took it from the God's Word translation. I love this one. It says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin, from meaninglessness, fruitlessness, and all of the hardship that sin brings with us, from self and selfishness, and ultimately from eternal separation from God. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved from all of that. But how can people call on him if they haven't believed in him? And how can they believe in them if they've not heard his message? You see, love and life, your witness and your deeds are a beautiful thing. But if they don't hear, how can they hear if no one tells them the good news? And how can people tell the good news if no one sends them? Therefore, as the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who announce the good news. How amazing that we get to bring good news. Yes, our life and our good deeds and our love for people and all of that help our examples set the stage or create the environment, but we must share the good news that Christ has paid for their sin, has given them an invitation into life in His kingdom, that their life can have meaning and purpose here and be involved in bringing the kingdom of God to this world, and then ultimately that they can have their eternities transformed. We get to do that. How incredible. He uses the word beautiful. I'm just like, that's awesome. How awesome is it that we get to do that? I thought I saw her. People like Kim. Kim Bowie's in our crowd today, everybody. One of my heroes. And how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And to think of the lives being transformed over in Cambodia. How beautiful are the feet of Lisa and the team in Niger, seeing the Fulani and the Tomashek people transformed. How beautiful are those who go downtown Toronto and help those serving at TAC with good news. How beautiful is it for people who call themselves home at Summit to go across the driveway or to across, you know, the office in their building place and in their life and how they do their work and how they see all of that as unto God, and then over lunch or a coffee, being able to share the good news. Or when you tell your story of what God's done for you, how He's answered a prayer or brought healing to you, or how He's changing you, or what He's doing. How beautiful, how awesome are the feet of those who bring good news. Friends, let me ask you this last question then, before we spend time at the communion table. Is there a part of your life? Is there a part that is out of harmony? Ask yourself this question. Is there a part that's out of harmony in my life song to Christ? And I want you just look at those for a second and just take a moment and ask the Spirit of God, as I begin this new year, Lord, which one? There might be one or two or three, but which one? Just take the first one. And maybe that's one thing to put on one of your lines. Lord, would you help me bring harmony in my life to you in one of these four areas? Which one would it be for you? You know, you may be experiencing in most of these, but like Anna, you want to bring an increasing depth and richness to your song. So just because you dabble, or just because you're faithful in some, deepen your faith and your engagement and your consistency. Which one would you need to deepen for those of you who say, man, I got pretty four of those pretty covered. Well, which one do you think the Spirit would lead you into even a deeper way and a deeper manifestation so that your life's harmony can become fuller and deeper and richer and sweeter to God Himself? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, I just thank you so much for the example of this wonderful prophetess, Anna. I thank you for her life. I thank you that she finished well. And I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would lead us into a fuller, richer harmony in our lives to you. I trust you that you've spoken to your people today And I also believe that people are responsive to you and that you have laid on their heart which one that they will make fuller and richer and more complete. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would fill them and you would lead them and empower them to do so. That their song to you would be rich and sweet. And that others in their life hear that song, they would be drawn towards you. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.